B2B marketing and sales can be tough to master. Sales cycles can be long, and buyers are notoriously difficult to close. That's why you need Minds On at your side. We're a B2B marketing and digital agency that's helped more than 200 clients evolve their brands, win more business, and succeed more often. And we're ready to help you. Visit www.mindson.com today to schedule your no-obligation consultation. Now, on to today's program.
I'm your host, Dan Harris, and welcome back to another episode of Minds on B2B. Thank you so much, everyone, for clicking, subscribing, sharing, downloading, and of course, listening to our podcast. This is a weekly show dedicated to helping busy B2B executives, marketers, and sales professionals stay informed, learn something new, and perhaps apply a lesson learned or run with an idea shared by our guests. As we say at Minds On, all of our minds together are better than any one mind alone. Who knows? You just might like what you hear, connect, and network with us. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dan Harris at Minds On, and we're on the Minds On B2B podcast today. I'm in the studio, and joining us today is Rob Barnhart. So welcome to the show, Rob.
Dan, thank you very much. I can't tell you how excited I am to be here.
I know. It's pretty exciting. Rob and I have worked together in large enterprises, mid-sized enterprises, agency-client relationship, and I can tell you I've learned a tremendous amount from this gentleman, and we've built a great friendship over time, so I'm thrilled to have you on the show. So Rob is an experienced B2B marketer. He's worked with hundreds of modern marketers over the years, and his key focus is better aligning their lead and demand generation programs with the customer's buying cycle. And those are things that we're going to talk about today. And on top of that, not only aligning to those, but also aligning to the salesperson's ideal selling process. So 15 years of experience, more than 20 years of marketing experience. He's super interested, super passionate about what he does. And we are going to jump in and talk a little bit about why does the MQL kill lead gen?
Interesting topic, right, for a marketer?
It is. I mean, it's something we talk about internally in our companies all the time. But for the audience, why don't you tell them a little bit about what is an MQL? So we set the stage. And then also, in your opinion, over years of experience, what is lead gen?
That's right. Well, and you know, so for the last, I would say, you know, really for the last 20 years, as marketing automation has proliferated and we've sort of gotten this idea or this opportunity as marketers to add more measurables and more metrics to the things that we're doing. One of the things that's come out of that movement has been this idea of the marketing qualified lead. And really, the marketing qualified lead is all about our opportunity to find a way to measure marketing's activity. And we've done that through marketing automation softwares and different things that different processes that we've been able to pull together as a marketing organization, and say that after a certain amount of engagement, after a customer is digitally engaged with a certain amount of content, you know, we've met them at a certain amount of events, that we can aggregate all of this activity, that we can aggregate all of these things that a prospect has done. And we've said we can measure that as a marketing qualified lead. And marketing, this is great because now we can tell sales we're generating leads for you guys.
Yeah. Well, not only sales, but the executive team, right? They gave you money, said go out and get leads, and now you can attribute the work that you've done based on this agreed upon measurement.
That's right.
Yeah. And I guess the thing for me is how is this impacting organizations and sales teams and leadership, because I'm seeing this tremendous surge in every single company I work with saying, I need more leads. I need more leads. It's taking over everything.
That's right. And you can always follow the dollars. And so we know traditionally sales has been a high area of investment for an organization, because you can tell exactly what kind of return you're getting on that sales organization. And so for an executive to say, we need more leads, and we've been hearing all of this messaging and content about how marketing can generate and qualify leads, and marketing can attribute all of the work that they're doing. Now the executives who hold the money are saying, okay, well, let's figure out where exactly we want to invest in that. And And the most common way that they can attribute those investment dollars directly to the activity that sales is doing is to say, let's throw a lot of money into lead gen. And for them, the lead gen piece is how many dollars am I going to spend for how many leads I'm going to get?
Right.
Traditionally, they haven't really worried about how qualified those leads are. They don't really worry about where those leads are coming from. They're just saying, let me spend a dollar and get 10 leads, and let's call it a day. Let's give our salespeople at-bats and opportunities.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I think, you know, prior to the show, we drew some things on a whiteboard here, just talked a little bit about it. But that approach is an internal focus, right? So when you look at that internal focus, can you talk a little bit about how a company sees itself versus how a prospect sees itself?
Absolutely, absolutely. So when we think about the way that we as a brand, when we think about the way that we as really as marketers, as salespeople, sort of as this company as a whole, we come into our office every day. We do the work that we're doing to make the most of our company every single day. So we sort of get this narcissistic view of ourselves where we're the center of the universe. And it's just natural for all of these people who are potential customers of ours to be interested in us because we're interested in us. The reality is, especially as Google has given people more choices to identify different things that can help them do whatever it is that they're trying to do from a business perspective, we've started to identify this fact that the customer is actually the center of their universe,
yeah.
That the prospect is the center of their universe, and we're just sort of floating in the galaxy around them, and whether they find us or not is really up to them. And the minute that they get onto their search engine, the minute that they get onto Google and they start to type in that keyword and they find a website that they want to click or a link that they want to click on, their experience starts then. And they don't know you from anybody else. You know you perfectly. They don't really know you that well. So it's sort of an interesting shift in the way that we as a brand see ourselves against the way that the customer sees them, the way the customer sees us in our position in the market.
Yeah, and I think it comes back to, too, there's a lot of competition in the software space and in B2B, and depending on the niche you're in, I mean, that's thousands of opportunities for different companies to be in the market. I agree with you, and I think one of the things as we talk about that sea of opportunity for that particular buyer, it's important to talk about the very beginning of that experience. And I like to tell the story, you know, if you're married, you'll understand, or if you're dating, you'll understand this as well, is that you don't walk into a room and see a beautiful woman and walk up and propose to her, right? It just doesn't happen. And I think that's what I think a lot of businesses think should happen. Buy the leads, buy the list, go to the shows, scan the badges. Okay, now they're qualified. Let's start selling to them.
That's right.
So I think that's important. So when we talk about this idea of brand and brand awareness, can you talk a little bit about, at that stage, what needs to happen to be able to get to this point where you truly have enough information to be able to determine if someone is interested?
That's it. Yeah, and so, you know, if you think about sort of this idea of a linear buying process, and let's just talk for now, because there's a lot of different ways that a customer can become aware of you and the things that you are potentially offering to them as an opportunity. Let's just think linearly about the digital buying process, and this customer clicks on you from Google. The minute that they hit your website, they're starting to get a sense of what you are as an organization. They're starting to get a sense of what their experience is going to be. And a lot of marketers spend a lot of time and a lot of money generating content and doing a lot of different things at this awareness stage to kind of give the customers this great feeling about the organization. And they've got a lot of thought leadership, and there's infographics, and there's all of this different content that is driving that awareness of what exactly it is that we do as an organization. Now, there's some companies out there where it's very difficult to even figure out what kind of a product that they sell or what kind of an experience that they're going to give you from the minute you hit their website all the way to those companies that it's very clear right from the minute that you get onto their site that this is something that you're going to have a great experience with. You know exactly what you're going to get out of that, right? So that awareness piece is where we as marketers start to say, okay, this person is either getting connected with us or they're not getting connected with us, depending on the way that we generate that content. So that awareness piece, that initial that initial experience that they have with your brand is so, so critical, but it's also important for us as marketers to be able to start to gather that intelligence, start to gain that information, and start to figure out whether or not this person is continuing to consume our content, continuing to nurture that digital experience with us on their own.
Yeah, and it's a good point, and I think the other thing, too, if you look at that sea of competitors, they're probably doing that with others.
That's right.
Right? So if you're, I would assume, if you're not doing some of the things on the brand building side, investing in that, creating this content that creates this first impression and creates an experience, it's super important. And then I think, you know, as you said, as they get further down into that linear process, you realize they have an opportunity, right? And then the sales team has what they need to be able to complete the process, or
that's
at
right.
least take them to the next phase. So when you think about what we've talked about from a marketing perspective up to that point where you have enough intelligence, how important is it for marketing and sales to align around the experience?
Yeah, and I think that question is central to what a lot of marketing and sales organizations are trying to figure out today. And it's part of the reason why I sort of think that this whole concept of the MQL, of the marketing qualified lead, and this measuring point between marketing and sales has created this artificial divide between the two parts of the organization that quite frankly doesn't need to exist. So marketing's putting a lot of time and a lot of effort into driving awareness and driving them to that next part of the buying cycle and driving interest and all of the different things that we create there. But that in most organizations, that experience that a customer gets pre-MQL, pre-marketing qualified lead, to when they actually get shifted over to a salesperson and the salesperson sort of picks up that customer or that prospect and they start to have that conversation with them, that experience sort of breaks down at that MQL level, because all of the work that marketing's done has been somewhat disjointed from all of the work that sales either assumes that they should be doing or is doing, and it creates this disjointed experience for the customer at that marketing qualified lead stage, where now they've got to get themselves reacclimated or reinvested in the same kind of an experience, the same content, the same thing that they've already been indoctrinated with the content early in the buying process. Now they have to do that with the salesperson, because that marketing conversation and that sales conversation in a lot of organizations are two totally different things. Mm-hmm. And it's because marketing is really trying to drive those MQLs, and whatever happens afterwards, that's on the sales team.
Yeah, it's kind of going back to that analogy of you know, getting down on one knee when you first meet a person and asking them to marry them. It kind of goes back to marketing has to build up the awareness and understand what the opportunity is for that prospect. And that's kind of the know and like phase, mm-hmm. right, of the dating process. And as you go through that process, the handoff, and I believe, is this handoff where if marketing and sales is aligned, then that prospect has the trust level, right? And they always say, you know, in sales, it's all about relationships, and they have to know, like, and trust you to do business with you. So when I look at this, and we've had conversations back and forth, I think that's so important to understand how this relates and how the teams need to work together to ask the questions of the client so they understand if they're ready to move forward. So we're going to wrap up here, but this, I know we're going to have another conversation. I really want to dig deeper into this. So for anyone listening, if they're going through this process, and how would you tell them to communicate, or what is the first thing that they could do to better understand this approach?
Yeah, I think that the key to this is really about bringing sales into this awareness cycle, and into this content generation process as early in the customer's buying cycle as you possibly can, so that we can start to create some of this consistency between what the customer hears the very first time that they see you all the way to when they sign that contract. And I think in a lot of organizations right now, the salesperson's kind of off selling, and or the sales team is kind of off selling, and the marketing team's kind of doing their thing. And I think that if we rethink the MQL and we make it a conversion of an experience, then that means that the salesperson or the sales team has to get involved very early in the content generation process, so that the entire experience makes sense late in the process.
Great. Thank you. So now everybody, you know why the MQL kills lead gen. And so thank you, Rob, for joining us on the show. And if someone wants to get a hold of you to learn more about you, learn more about this idea, how do they do that?
They can connect with me on LinkedIn, Rob Barnhart, B-A-R-N-H-A-R-T. Sometimes people want to put the Dale Earnhardt on me and put a D in there, but there's no D, so Rob Barnhart on LinkedIn.
All right. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it. And until next time, we're going to, I think we're going to dig deeper. What do you say?
Sounds great to me.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for this episode of Minds on B2B. So here's where you come in. If you have an idea for a possible episode topic, and you'd like to be a guest on the show, or you know someone that would be a great B2B teacher or guest on the show, make sure to connect with me on LinkedIn. You can find me by searching Danny D. Harris. You can also send me an email with the subject line, Minds on B2B Idea or Guest, to dan.harris@mindson.com. That's mindson.com. Because the more input we get from you, the listeners, and the more listeners that we have, the better this podcast is going to be. So make sure to subscribe to the show in iTunes or on your favorite podcast player. And until next time, this is Dan Harris. Stay curious, connect often, and learn always.
Thanks for listening to today's Minds on B2B podcast. If you like what you heard today, please subscribe. Also, feel free to share this episode with your peers and colleagues so we can keep bringing you quality content from the best minds in B2B. Until next time, from all of us at Minds On, have a great week.